than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, the bye week is over. We are back. Did you miss us? I know you missed us.
No more bye week blues.
No more. Well, I mean, there were so many different emotions in this bye week.
It was like a busy bye week. It wasn't even a bye week at all. What happened?
I know. I feel like the only day that Ravens fans had off was actually Sunday. What a crazy bye week it has been. News broke over the weekend that John Harbaugh and the Ravens agreed to part ways after the season. We'll discuss that and the coach's response to that report. Joe Flacco apparently is having a hip injury. There's question about whether he could play. And this game coming up against the Cincinnati Bengals. Josh, I sent you game notes before the show, a couple show notes, and I said potentially the biggest game in Ravens history and in Joe Flacco's career. Now, when I say that, some listeners out there might be like, come on, Super Bowl. That's the biggest game. But this game right here has implications that will not only affect this season, the rest of the Ravens franchise, the future, Joe Flacco's future, Coach Harbaugh's future, Lamar Jackson's future. This game this Sunday, potentially, in my opinion, is the biggest game in Ravens history to date. What do you think of that? Just overall, what do you think? Is this the biggest game in franchise history?
That's a hefty statement. Hold some weight there. I say this. I'm going to give you both sides. I see it. You're right. Oh, my God. What about Super Bowl? What about the Mile High Miracle? What about the 4th and 29? Or what about this? There's a lot of games, a lot of plays, biggest in Ravens history. I think you're onto something by saying that. If you want to keep a deeper meaning, I'm going to peel back the onion. Here's why. Because we all know what's going to happen. Is it going to be Joe Flacco? Is it going to be Lamar? Because the Ravens season pretty much hangs in the balance about not only did we think Pittsburgh was a must-win, now it's a must-win against Cincinnati if you want to even have a chance of a playoffs. I've heard anywhere from a 19 to a 32-37% chance of making the playoffs. I don't hold any weight into that because they were 97% chance of making the playoffs last year playing the Bengals at home, and we know how that happened. And the Bills were a 3% chance of making the playoffs, and they made it on their own accord. So percentages, I don't care. It's the biggest game in Ravens history. I kind of want to side on that and play that part of it, per se. Play devil's advocate both sides. I don't think it is, obviously, because, as I mentioned before, there's far more crazy important games and important plays to put precedent of that. But I feel 2018, the direction of the franchise, it is the most important game in franchise history to date because of all the whirlwind stories. And whether you call them stories or whether they're valid, it's all tongue in cheek. It's all coach speak. Harbaugh's playing it close to the chest. We're not telling you who's playing. And apparently Joe Flacco got hurt. And apparently Jason Lockefort put out that the Ravens and Harbaugh at some point in time mutually talked about parting ways. And obviously he's not denying it. So reading that too well. But I feel like it's important because the future could be now. Instead of later, you know, everybody's clamoring for it. And after seeing the footage, and I'm going to break this. It's going to be a meaty show, man. But breaking it down of how the last few games went, three-game losing streak, we could have a rookie, future of the franchise starting quarterback on Sunday. Joe Flacco, you know, hitting the bench due to an injury. Pretty much, obviously, the most winningest quarterback right now, Super Bowl MVP. You have a coach who right now is in limbo. You won't confirm or deny reports, and it could go both ways. We could put in Lamar Jackson, we can ball out, start it off, and here comes the run because they play the Bengals and Raiders back-to-back at home. The last six or seven games, it seems like here we're playing bad defenses. I mean, you can put into that as much stock as you want. But if Jackson were to start now versus the rest of the year, it could be pretty huge for the franchise because here's the thing. We've seen him in the gimmick plays. We've seen him in the preseason. He was balling out. He had a few series there, but I felt comfortable with it. Is he game ready? I thought he wasn't. But, hey, Joe Flacco wasn't game ready, and I forget who had what, but a quarterback had time, so I guess somebody got hurt. And it was Kyle Bowler and Troy Smith, and then here entered Joe Flacco with a rookie head coach, rookie quarterback, and they went on 11-5 record and an AFC title game, and that's all she wrote. We know the legend of that, how that all started. So, and even a rookie running back with Ray Rice, but it's besides the point. We've been in this situation before, so I'm not opposed to just thrusting somebody in there. Due to injury, again, not comparing names in the same breath, but it happened. When Ben Roethlisberger we just played, he got a start due to injury. It was thanks to the Ravens who did that. The Ravens hurt Tommy Maddox. Tom Brady got his start due to a Drew Bledsoe injury. It was not the Ravens who did that. So it's happened before. And look at the Ravens now with their own player here. They got RG3 who's been mentioned big time this week, and we'll get into that as well, me and Brandon will. And how about the Ravens ending RG3's career, essentially, hello to Nada did. Enter Kirk Cousins. The legend of Kirk Cousins is born. So the Ravens are thankful for two of those guys stardom. So, but yeah, I kind of agree with you, Brandon, man. If you really want to break it down, it could be the biggest game in franchise history, not only for this year as far as trying to get back and riding the ship to 500 and maybe trying to march towards a possible 6-seed playoff berth. I mean, there's still a slim chance, but it could happen if they play their cards right and they start it. But long road ahead starts now after the bye week, second half of the year. But yeah, I kind of agree with you if you want to really break it down to the nuts and bolts.
Now, this is huge, okay, because Joe Flacco having this hip injury, I mean, for him on a professional level, could not have come at a worse time.
Right.
Just for Joe and his job security, pretty much. The Ravens right now are a very mediocre team at 4-5. They've had some good games. They've lost some close ones. I mean, it seems as if the Ravens just can't figure out how to put the other teams away this year. But the only way Joe Flacco pretty much finishes this year as the starting quarterback for the Ravens is A, if he plays and wins, or B, if Lamar Jackson starts and loses, because they're saying Joe Flacco with this hip is day to day. He is not week to week. He is not going on IR. He is day to day. Could one of those days be Sunday? Maybe. We don't know yet. They're not really saying. They're keeping this kind of close to the vest. He is not practicing at all this week. So it'll be the first time in almost 2 weeks that Joe Flacco will be on the field. Now, think about this. If the Ravens lose to the Bengals, they will go down to 4-6. That pretty much means that their playoff hopes are out the window. If you are grooming Lamar Jackson to be your starter and your season's already done, you're not going to make the playoffs, why wouldn't the Ravens play Lamar Jackson for the rest of the year? It makes absolutely no sense of why you would start Joe Flacco with a losing record there. So, and then you look, a fourth straight loss as well could also mean Joe Flacco gets benched for the first time in his career. So
this, Eli got benched for one game.
That's true. That's true. But this could really be Joe go big or literally go home for Joe Flacco's career. I mean, think about this. I know they're saying he's only day to day. He's not week to week. He's not going on IR. But if Lamar Jackson comes out there on Sunday, he wows the world. He plays absolutely fantastic. We may have already seen Joe Flacco's last game in a Baltimore Ravens uniform.
Yeah, and I prepared for that. I mean, I even told people to prepare for that, whether it was going to come this year or not. But, yeah, it's sad to say, and I hate to say it, but I hate to see it end like that. You know, you really hate to – that's the way out, and that's remember Joe. And, you know, I'm going to read you something here, and I don't know if you saw it, but it's pretty incredible. It was actually my very own pastor – he tweeted this. I'm going to give him a shout-out. Him and Jeff Zeribik, you very know Jeff Zeribik, formerly Baltimore Sun, now with The Athletic. he tweeted and said something awesome, and I wanted you to hear this, Brandon, because it actually has something to do with that. Is he tweeted at Jeff Cerebic. They were going back and forth a little bit. Jeff Cerebic, this is how it started. He put out his injury report. My pastor, his name's Buddy. He says, I never seen so much dislike from fans for a QB coach who have done nothing but consistently win and or be competitive for 11 years. Might it be time for a change? Sure. But I'll shake Flacco and Harb's hands any day for their contribution to Ravens. And Jeff Drake replied, well said, Buddy. You certainly can be disappointed and critical about what's happened since and believe changes are necessary. That's legit, but I don't get the need to demean them both. They remain figures in the winningest era in franchise history. And you're right, man. Whether it is Joe Flacco's last game ever, depending on how the season goes, or to be determined, or obviously Harbaugh's not getting fired. But, it's, again, me and you've talked about it many times in the show. I'm not saying I throw anybody under the bus, but yeah, I'd be critical of both coach and quarterback alike. Coach, why does he miss time, mismanagement? Why don't they game plan for a certain team? Why are they so arrogant? Why is his ego getting away? Joe, he's making mistakes that 11-year veteran shouldn't. He's got to play better. We always critical, but you're right. He's right. When it's all said and done, Joe Flacco has set so many records for the quarterback as far as Baltimore's concerned. If you look at his active passing stats, again, I'm not putting him in a Hall of Fame discussion by whatsoever means, but I don't know where he stands. Let's have to look it up, but I did break it down a few weeks ago. He was so many yards behind Joe Montana and Johnny Unitas for most passing yards in their career. He already passed a current Hall of Famer as Kurt Warner. So he has the passing yards. He was in technically right now as active and retired players alike, top 25 in passing yards when it's all said and done. Yeah, he's never been to a Pro Bowl, but he's been to a Super Bowl and won it, something Matt Ryan never did. Remember that. How many Pro Bowls Matt Ryan have? I'm sure Matt won a Super Bowl versus a Pro Bowl. Ask him. I would bet my mortgage he would probably say Super Bowl, and he lost one, which was crazy. But you're right, man. If this is Flacco's last game, it pretty truly sucks, or what the Pittsburgh game was, because it truly sucks because that's the last thing you remember. It's, he was on the back end of a 3-game losing streak and what could have, would have, should have. But you know what? I want to ask you something, man. Is looking at the offense in the way it is, would you be comfortable with, even if Flacco were to go, and Harbaugh said this, whether you want to read into this or not, but he said, Joe don't need to practice a week to play. He's earned it. He's 11-year veteran. He's Joe. It's true. I mean, remember the back issue. He went in training camp, went in practice, and all of a sudden he comes back from the back injury. We've seen this song and dance before, but I heard this all week, and I'm going to ask you this question. Is an 80, 70, or 60% Joe Flacco better than 100% Lamar Jackson? Oh, you got a sigh. I stumped you.
You did. I'm trying to think here because, all right, let's say Joe is at 80%. Physically, that's not a good thing for Joe. But even bigger problem for Joe is the mental game, because when Joe is hurt, he focuses on that. He's scared to get hit. We've seen that with his knee injury. We've seen that with his back injury. And he does have a banged up offensive line. So if Joe's in there to begin at 80%, he's leaving that game at maybe a 60%, maybe a 50%. And I don't see, the team being able to win that game with a Joe that's banged up like that. Now, 100% Lamar Jackson, while yes, healthy, he also is inexperienced, so he isn't going to make the best decisions. So
given that, inexperienced, not making the best decisions, but then I hear, speaking of our quarterbacks inexperienced, I hear whispers of, we've already heard Lamar's going to start if Joe Flacco's not ready. Also, I heard whispers today that, RG3 is going to get denied because he's a veteran. Well, talk about inexperienced, but now, if you want to compare it, and you even pose a question on the notes, RG3 or Lamar, if Joe can't go, I'm going to answer that, and I'm going to pose it to you, but I'm just going to kind of tie everything together we just talked about. Well, you talked about inexperience of Lamar versus, if Joe's not 100%, at least he's going to make better decisions. But from what I've seen, he hasn't made good decisions. Now, granted, I didn't know when he got hurt in the game until after I watched this video, but if not, I'll share it back on the Ravens or the Call Facebook page. But Brandon, there's a guy on YouTube. His name's Edgar Allen. I don't know if it's his real name or his screen name, but it's awesome. He shared a video. It was 8 minutes, best 8 minutes I've ever watched this year. Of all the hype videos and all that, it was 8 minutes, and it was four, and it was entitled Four Plays versus Pittsburgh. It was Joe Flacco, and he broke down. I don't know how he did this, but he broke down whether he had software or record the game, but he broke down four crucial plays in the game where Flacco kind of messed up, didn't read the defense, did this, did that, and I'm like, and do you remember, I want to ask you this, remember not, and it's funny, these four plays, that Lamar Jackson wide open on the sideline wasn't one of them, but it was the Buck Allen one that was one of them, but do you remember the play where we were in the red zone and Joe Flacco turned to his left and threw a jump ball to Mark Andrews in the end zone, it was incomplete, you remember that play?
Right.
All right, that was one of the plays. Now, I don't want to ruin it for you, but you go watch it, but I'm not going to give away how he breaks the video down. I'm going to post it. Anybody, encourage you to watch it. But he basically said, like, when he threw the jump ball and it was a lazy throw, looking at it, Brandon, I don't know if you know the mechanics of actually throwing the football, but yeah, you need your hips, okay? So when Joe Flacco, like, basically just took the snap, stepped a couple steps back, and then just threw it, it did look like a lazy noodle arm throw, like he didn't get everything into it, and it was like, oh, I'm going to put it up. Dude, Mark Andrews isn't Megatron. Like, he's not going to go up there and grab it. And he threw a 50-50 ball. Yeah, I understand what he was looking at. A linebacker on a corner, or not a linebacker, a tight end on a corner. He had the height, but he didn't get his hips into it. Now, knowing what I knew now after watching the video, that he didn't, whether, I don't know what hip is hurt, that even it doesn't matter. You need them to turn through the ball to, you know, it's just how it is. It's like a golfer trying to push through a golf swing, baseball player trying to swing the bat. You need your hips and the mechanics. And that could have probably attributed to the bad play we saw, two Sundays ago. But I get to all that by saying the experience, when Joe Flacco is making them type of plays, even if he's not healthy, I don't want that out there. But you saying that Lamar might be inexperienced, and he is. He's a rookie. He hasn't seen a full NFL game of speed. But that we're going to dub a RG3 who's been inactive all year since he was on the 53-man roster. Obviously, we know why he's on the roster. He's here to mentor Lamar because they're the same prototype quarterback pretty much. But you're telling me that the Ravens, you just dubbed, and we agreed, kind of agreed here, we dubbed this as the most important game in franchise history, and we're going to start an RG3 who has not played in over a year, who pretty much sucked it up and then some last time he played, and especially for the Cleveland Browns. That's why he's been out of football. And you're telling me he's been active this whole time, that all of a sudden out of nowhere, the biggest game of the year, you're going to start a rusty old veteran versus a young, fresh guy who's been in the gimmick plays and been in all the preseason and been in there? I don't think so. And I feel like if RG3 was part of that game plan, he would have came in and relieved Flacco when we were getting beat against the Panthers, not Lamar. So I have really a hard time believing that RG3 would be thrust in this discussion. I feel like it's, if Joe Flacco were to go down, Lamar's the guy. I don't care if he's a rookie or not, having experience, he's the guy. I don't care if we were 9-2 or we're 4-5 at this point. You got to start Lamar, and I feel like RG3 is going to hold that clipboard, back him up, still dressed, suit ready to go, and he's going to be active. But that's just how I see it. I would be very concerned for this game if RG3 is under center because, I do not see it, and I'm going to be highly upset if it happens. I mean, nothing I can do about it, but for me personally, you attend the game, PSL owner. Yeah, it's going to be a long day. I just put it that way.
I will say this, until I hear otherwise, Joe Flacco is our quarterback. Joe Flacco is who I'm going to support and be behind. But it is going to be pretty difficult for them to start Joe if he is hurt. I mean, you bringing it up.
We got support on no matter what.
Right.
Like, who's a quarterback? I mean, yeah, like you just heard me sound about RG3. Yeah, if he's the man, I'm going to be sourpuss about it. But I'm going to still, hey, if the coaches feel he's the best,
right,
put him out there, let him roll. We have always been that. But I don't run the team. And I mean, hey, I pay a fee to get in the stadium and, you know, and all that. And I have a sound. I'm a PSL owner, but that's all I am, a PSL owner. I don't have weight. I don't get to, you know, email them when Saturday night and go, here's my input, guys. I hope you read this recommendation. So, yeah, we can get all bent out of shape in the stands about it and up in arms, but at the same time, the coaches are going to do what they're going to do, and they're going to do what they feel is best for the franchise and in the moment. But I just feel, why even entertain that if he hasn't been active and hasn't been part of the process? But who are we? We don't know the game plan. We don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, let's see what happens on Sunday. But I agree with you. If Joe is down, Lamar is the number one guy. Then it becomes the question of, is Joe even healthy enough to back up? Will he just be a scratch? Who knows? We don't know what they're going to do. But it really is just amazing to me to think that the Joe Flacco era of the Baltimore Ravens may already be over. I mean, that really
crazy.
That is an end of an era. And you know, like you said, Joe and Harbaugh both have done just an absolutely fantastic job with this team. You know, it was a losing team when Harbaugh came in. Joe was a third string guy. They came in and what, went 11-4, Joe's rookie 11 season? 11-5, sorry.
Rookie year.
Right. I mean,
they've been in playoffs 5 straight years with 3 title games and a Super Bowl. And then since then, we've had 1 playoff appearance, 1 win, 1 loss. And we already know the loss. It was 2 scores twice in New England. Let him come back. I was there for that. So it kind of sucks. It feels like eons ago. I was there for the last playoff win and the last playoff loss, both on the road. It was crazy. Remember those days. But
right.
I miss it. I miss January football. I miss going to the playoff pep rallies and getting excited and, oh, my God, we're going. And then, hey, maybe get the home host the playoff game. Yeah, I said, apart from the last dance game 2012, and I told people that come to games with me, I said, bro, there's nothing like a playoff tailgate. There's nothing like a playoff game. Like, you wake up, you get to go down to the stadium, and hey, this is truly when I go home. It's playoff time here at the bank. So it's prideful. It's awesome. So I miss those days, and maybe we'll get down there if we have to build it up, tear it down to build it up. Who knows? But I feel like it's time. You know, you again, it's hard to admit, hard, and again, all of the good things come to an end, including Ray Lewis. But or he's actually said everything that starts has an end. And speaking of his retirement speech, but that's another thing. But I look at it this way. Ozzie's stepping down. We know Eric DaCosta is going to be the new GM. I feel like new GM, new coach, new quarterback, new system, new coaching staff. I think it's going to be a fresh opportunity 2019 to start over. I feel like, you know, it's run its course. You know, thank you for the memories. Thank you for the title, Harbs and Joe. And thank you for the memories and the Maha Miracle. I mean, those moments live forever. You know, I got the pictures. I got the signatures. I got to meet Joe. You know, it's you know, we hate to see it run out and play out like this, you know, whether it's Joe and Harbs, you know. But, yeah, Harbs, I feel like it's going to get hired right away, you know, whether it's college or pro, just like his brother. Harbaugh name runs deep in football. You know, whether he wants to take a year or two off, I don't know. I don't know, you know, what John thinks or feels. But right now, I can tell he's got a little bit of edge to him. It's almost like with Flacco, with the whole, oh, drafting Lamar and doing this. Now, I feel like with these press conferences this week, Harbaugh's got a little brashness to him. I can sense it. So whether he's a little perturbed that the story came out, you know, how it leaked, but whether you want to hold truth to it or not, whether he denies it and you can read into it, whether he acknowledges it, the Ravens officially have it. But I heard this statement this week. Whatever story comes out, fake or real, a portion of it is true. You choose what to believe, but all will come out in due time. So if it's true, we have what, 6, 7, 8 weeks left to figure it all out, and then it'll come to its head. And but nothing more bigger than the Bengals on Sunday. And I say this right now is, we ought to know Tyler Boyd's a Raven killer because he killed us last year and put us out of playoffs. But I tell you one thing. We do have some help, though. You know, speaking of the Joe injury, the Bengals have a huge injury. AJ Green's not on their side, which he killed us on that Thursday night game, did he not?
That's right. Yeah, him and Dalton really just had their fun with the Ravens. But before we get into that, I don't want to get too far into the Bengals yet. I do want to stick on Harbaugh here for a second.
Sure.
As everybody knows,
excuse me.
news did break over the weekend that supposedly Harbaugh and Steve Bisciotti came to a mutual agreement. Said after the 2018 season that Harbaugh would step down because his contract goes through one more season, and they said they wanted to not have a lame duck season, just have Harbaugh kind of run through the paces in his last year of his contract. Harbaugh has come out, you know, they asked about it, and he just said, you know, I'm not even going to respond to the report. It's, you know, it's there's stuff that's true, there's stuff that's not. So he's not even going to talk about it. It's not the place. So it is very interesting. Like you brought up, there is going to be a new GM. The new GM did draft Lamar Jackson, went back into the first round for it. And John Harbaugh, he's not an offensively minded coach. You have to remember he came from special teams. That's where he really did shine when he was in Philadelphia. But so if the new GM takes over, you have a quarterback that can run, that can throw, you know, maybe that isn't the best fit for Harbaugh. So if they are moving forward and he is leaving, I don't understand the whole thing where it's we don't want a lame duck season if he's got 1 year left in his contract and we're just going to tell him we're not going to renew. Because if you start the season saying, look, we're not going to renew your contract, we'd like if you'd step down, then that makes this season the lame duck season. So,
well, I think they say that, man, because you don't – like, especially now that we're kind of hanging on by a thread with the playoffs, I feel like they don't want to do that because then it's like – it's almost like this. It's like the only thing I compare it to, and it's probably a bad comparison, but the first thing that comes to my mind, it's almost like this. It's like, what if you went to work and you won the lottery? Like, you're a billionaire. Like, are you going to really work hard?
Nope.
Or are you going to go every day and dress your best and give it a yard? You're going to go, I don't need this job. I'm a millionaire. But you're going to go to work and slack off. You're going to half it. So and mail it in. Now, I don't think Coach would do that, but I feel like if he was told – like you're like if you now had a new job lined up, that's how it is. People get lazy. So I feel like that when they say lame duck season, lame duck coach, it's like it's kind of like he has nothing to lose. So he's gonna like trash it. Like, oh, right. I'm getting evicted from the home, so I'm gonna trash it before I leave. Kind of deals. And I think that's why they do it, because it's like no, they kind of want to keep a hush hush. But I feel like hey, and Jason Lockefour is a viable source. You know, people are coming out of woodwork like, oh, it's fake news. No, it ain't, because he's a Baltimore native and he's very highly respected. And when I first heard it, I saw it on this like NFLRumors.com. And I'm like, well, how cliche is that? So I'm not going to believe it. Then when I saw CBS Sports came out with it and who wrote it, I'm like, okay, it's legit. So, and again, that's why I said, buy into what you will, but with the source that I, and again, I don't know Jason personally, no, but. Dude, Jason Lockefour. I mean, do your research. The guy's credible. He was actually on the Fan, 105.7 The Fan. Actually, tonight we're recording it from 8 to 10. So we're in the middle of recording this evening, and it just started. So, yeah, so if you really want to hear, he's going to be on the radio locally for the next 2 hours. So have at it. The man, the source, will be on the radio. So I'm sure that'll be fun to hear, and I can't wait to hear the sound bites from that. But it's really sucks to say, and Brandon, if I had to pick, I would want to keep Harbs instead of Flacco, because I just feel like I feel like obviously the quarterback takes the brunt of blame. I know if I had to pick between the two, I'm going to pick Harbs. I feel like because even though Harbs does make the decisions that affect it and all that, I still feel like he's a good coach. You know, he can still coach. It's just he does get out-coached. And he does get smart, and I feel like he just needs to tweak things a little bit and grow. And with Joe, it's, yeah, you've seen it, and everybody says, well, you have to give him benefit of doubt because he hasn't had the weapons, and you need to have the line, the platform, and blah, 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 and Harbs just stands on the sidelines. You know, he has the easiest job. You know, but, I mean, I don't know how easy or hard it is to coach the NFL. I'm sure it's tough nails, but I just seen enough of Joe and his decision-making ability on the field that, you know, come on. Especially with the plays. If he's running the offense and truly running the offense and Marty calls a stupid play, he should be able to go, you know what, Marty? He's going to give him the finger and just do it anyway. He called an audible in the Super Bowl, for goodness sake, and it ended up being a crazy good play. So, you know, if you don't like the play, check out of it. I do that on video games. Again, video games versus reality are totally different. But, hey, if I'm playing Madden online and I see somebody that looks like they're going to blitz and I'm in a run play, I'm going to check out and go to a pass play and burn you. And then, hey, bring all your guys. I'm going to throw over the top of you, and I'm going to get at least the first down. It's not that hard. It's called reading defenses. It's a chess match. It's anticipating moves. And I feel like Harbaugh doesn't play chess. He just plays checkers. You move, I move. You move, and I move. But I've always said time and time again, you know, Harbaugh's, and whether I don't know who runs the show like Harbs does, but I always feel like, and I said this week, the Ravens – don't game plan. I don't feel like they game plan for a team. I feel like they go out and I said this in the last shows. They do what they do, no matter who they're playing, and they're going to run their game. And if it works against the opponent, it does. If not, oh well. It's oh we're going to pass more. We're going to run more. Or we're going to do this. No change. If the other team's blitzing their pants off against you, call slants, call plays to come against that. Tell Marty, hey, get it together or take the. Now, I mean, I don't know. It just sounds silly, but it's like, no, take his privilege from him. Say, know what? you're done calling the plays, I'm calling the plays. You know, fix it. I don't know how a coordinator supersedes a head coach or vice versa, but if you're an offensive coordinator, I'm a head coach, you know, if I don't like what you're doing, I don't care if it's mid-game. I'll be like, dude, stop it, or I'll fire you in mid-game. I don't care. I just feel like head coaches should have that authority. I don't know how it's run on the NFL sidelines, but I just – I don't know. But I feel like Harbs will go to gig. I think Flacco should get another gig if he even is exiting of the team and, you know, it's run its course. But, yeah, the Harbaugh news – I didn't expect. I expected that Joe Flacco kind of – because, again, picking a tab on a $26 million check of his caliber, of his play right now, it was not warranted. I felt like no matter what, this was Joe's last year. I didn't see Harbaugh because Harbaugh was extended. So I kind of didn't see that happening. But now knowing that we're trying to enter in and usher in a new era, they want a fresh infusion. I think a fresh message, new quarterback, new system. I can kind of see it now.
And I do think Steve Bisciotti is the type of guy, he had the relationship with Harbaugh, that they would have this discussion, that it wasn't going to just come out of the blue or come mid-season. So, I mean, I'm not shocked at they would come to a mutual agreement type of thing. I don't think Bisciotti's just going to come out and say, all right, dude, you're done. See you later. Bye. Thanks for the memories. Bye. But I don't think so. But like, I agree with you. I do see Harbaugh landing on his feet. I think whatever job he wants, he could get. You know, we were talking about last week when we went to the Jets game that the Jets said, or Jets fan would be like, hey, we'll take him. No problem. So I definitely see him going somewhere else if that's what he wants to do. He's been a coach for a long time. He may be ready for that home life. Who knows? But let's talk about the Cincinnati game. You know, it's a must win for the Ravens. It's a must win for Joe. But speaking about coaching, the Cincinnati Bengals made some changes as well, where they had Marvin Lewis. He actually fired the defensive coordinator this week and took control of the entire team himself. So with the exit of their defensive coordinator, Terrell Austin, what does that do for the Ravens? Does that make it easier, or is it now harder because now they don't have as much game tape because that the defensive coordinator was not doing a good job before he got fired? He had just an absolutely terrible game last week for the Bengals, and now he's gone. So what does this do to the Ravens game plan?
For starters, I don't think it changes much for the Ravens game plan because it's the Bengals, it's more a scheme. It's more Marvin's taking over. We know Marvin's pedigree as a defense coordinator. He did it here. Obviously, he had a championship caliber defense under his wing. And it's easy when that happens. It's easy when you have a defense like that. But how they got embarrassed, I think more or less the Ravens, they knew the attack. They need to show them different looks. Speaking of the Ravens game plan, different schemes. And if it's Lamar, you know, the Bengals got their hands full because there's not really much to go on. And that's why I kind of feel the Ravens would have the edge because, and I said this time and time again, especially with rookie tape, is there's not much. There's, you know, what do you have? A few gimmick plays in college tape, and you can't hold stock in a preseason because it's preseason tape. So, you know, they're probably going to look at that, but that's why I kind of feel like, and that's why the Ravens are playing it close to the chest, speaking of Harbs and not letting us know who's starting. Yeah. I fully have confidence. I think Harbaugh knows who's starting. I think the whole team does. But obviously, for the respect of that and their game plan, they don't want to tip their hand and let Marvin know, hey, we're starting Lamar, so get all you can on Lamar in the next 5 days. No, they'll probably announce it Friday when they're already flying here, so they can't really do anything about it. You know, and that bodes well into their favor. They're going to hold as long as possible till they have to release their starting lineup. So, it's no different than a pitcher in baseball scouting report, you know, or the hitters, you know, there's always some scheme involved in the way coaches do things. So whether Harbaugh's being mean or whether he's being real, I love it because, you know, no matter if it's Marvin or whoever's going to take over the play calling duties on defense, they're going to have their hands full. Now I feel like if it's Joe, they're going to have a lot easier time because it's Joe Flacco. He's going to do his thing, roll out there, do what he wants to do. And I feel with Lamar, it's, hey, you blitz him, he's going to run. He could do this. There's the RPO. There's the, you know, what is he going to do? Is he going to run up the middle? Is he going to not? Is he going to fake it and dump it? Is he going to throw? Is he a more palace pocket? There's a lot of unknowns to where it's like, oh, he's going to run. Oh, no, he's passing. Oh, you know, for a defender, you already know what Joe is. He's going to sit in the pocket and, hey, if he takes more than 3 seconds holding the ball in a blitz, you got him. You know, for a defender, it's an easy game plan if Joe's in, especially if he's hurt. If he's less 100%, he ain't running with that hip. And with a hip, I mean, dude, his best friend Dez Pitta had, what, 3 major hip injuries? So
is he just trying to compete with Dennis Pitta? You know, they're boys.
Someone did tweet that this week. I forgot who it was, but it was pretty funny. I was like, man, too soon. But I kind of chuckled at it a little bit. And, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, but it's nothing to take lightly. Hip's a hip. And it's, I mean, I was there when Pitta went down for the last one. It was brutal. I was like, really? And he went by himself. And that's why I'm like, dude, if he's already out there, he's speaking of a lame duck, and you're going to put an injured Joe out there with this defense. And, hey, if Vontaze Burfict's playing, look out, because he'll probably cut Joe in half and end his career right there. But Lamar, I'm not afraid of it. And don't give me this whole I'm going to use a Han Solo phrase, mumbo jumbo here, of the whole, oh, well, I hate these running quarterbacks, Lamar gets hurt. Well, don't even watch football because it's part of the game. I mean, pull up an injury report and show me how many non-running quarterbacks got hurt, especially if they're non-running quarterbacks on defense, because I'm sure Steve Smith popping his Achilles, Terrell Suggs popped his Achilles, Tom Brady's not a running quarterback, and he got his knee tore up. Carson Wentz, I don't think, is a running quarterback, and he got hurt running. You know, these running quarterbacks always get a bad name. Well, he did this. Mike Vick didn't get hurt majorly until the end of his career. You know, he pretty much was in prison the most of his prime. You know, I couldn't remember a time where Mike Vick got shredded. Not in his prime. He was running all over the field. No one could stop it. You know, these running quarterbacks, I feel in this running gun now with the offenses, they bode well because as the league gets faster and it bodes well, I feel like the Ravens need to go to that. And, you know, yeah, the track record hasn't been good to these kind of quarterbacks, and they're, oh, it's a college gimmick and the NFL doesn't fly. But, you know, so what, man? Because apparently, you know, pocket passing, I mean, unless you have a prolific one and a Hall of Fame caliber, I'd rather have the runner who can get out and make dynamic plays with his feet. And you've seen him. Did you not? He did this. He did the one crazy one where he came in and got blitzed and danced around and got the touchdown. So I feel like Lamar's more dynamic in that area, and that's why I feel like he's dangerous. We already know in college he's got better stats than Saquon Barkley, who's the second overall pick for the Giants. So, you know, yeah, he's a quarterback by nature. And we already heard the stories. He's a more pocket passer now, not polished, but he's getting a lot more, and he's made those type of throws in college. I think the game plan with the Bengals will be a lot harder now that the Ravens are playing close to the chest. I don't care if Marvin took it over. But, yeah, it's going to play well. And I feel like the Ravens, you know, they already know what the Bengals are, minus A.J. Green. So the Ravens' game plan is pretty simple. I feel like they need – and it's the line. And everybody keeps saying, focus on the running game. Focus on this. But when our line's hurt, I don't care if you put Tom Brady or Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers on the Ravens. This line sucks. They're not going to run the ball. You can put Todd Gurley on the team. I'm guaranteed Todd Gurley would not have the year he's having because this line sucks. So I feel like this – and I say it all the time. And it's true. The game is won and lost in the trenches, and the Ravens don't have a good trench unit right now. And that's why they're having woes in the passing game. Can't keep Joe clean. And then they have woes in the running game because they can't run block to save their life. So that's where it starts. Until the line gets better and fixes their issues, whether who's in there or not, backups or starters, until they play better, it's going to be a long day for the offense.
Now, like you said, A.J. Green is out for this game with a toe injury. Now, one of the other biggest differences for the Ravens this time around than it was against Week 2 in against Cincinnati is that C.J. Mosley is healthy and will be playing. If you remember, during that game, C.J. Mosley left very early in the game, and you definitely felt that spot was now missing for the Ravens because C.J. Mosley they tore up, you know, the center of the field with him there. So what does it mean to have C.J. Mosley back? How does that affect the Andy Dalton game? Because Andy Dalton, week two, he was just throwing all over the place against the Ravens and completely tearing up the defense. Now with C.J. Mosley back, with Tavon Young being a full participant in practice, looks like he's going to be back. What does it mean for the defense, C.J. Mosley finally back in the lineup against the Bengals?
Well, against the Bengals, you're right. We've seen what it did without him. Now, I've always felt like he's a liability in pass coverage. Could be just me. But I feel like hey, he's one of the best players we got. We cannot do without. Got to have him in there. I feel like he's going to be a run stopper. Keep an eye on Mixon. Mixon's dangerous, man, and they're going to have those kind of plays, screen passes, check downs, get him out in open field. So if Mosley can cover the middle of the field, I'm more confident that way. But again, you know, without Mosley and when he got hurt, not saying it was the Ravens end all be all, because I mean, hey, they were down 21-0, and I don't feel that it wasn't Mosley's job to cover AJ Green. So Tavon Young was part of that blame, and Jimmy Smith wasn't in the game, so we can't really blame him. So it was, the second game of the year. But you know, it's going to be a different scheme, obviously, knowing that if CJ Mosley can attack when the blitz schemes. He's not really much in the backfield to disrupt. That's been the Darius Smiths, the Matt Judons, the Terrell Suggses of the world in the backfield wrecking havoc. That's why I said Mosley's more of that finesse guy. He's in the middle of the field covering. Obviously, he's not calling the plays for defense. Weddle's the general in the back doing so. So I feel like if Mosley can really, really zone in on this game plan, I feel like he could really help his team. I hope he's not a liability in the passing coverage because I see like – yeah, some players are a little bit tad too quick for him, and he has that extra he tends to bite in on that running fake. So I've seen a few times this year at the live games I've been to where it's that one split second hesitant and the tight ends get behind him. So I feel like he needs to be more aware, but I feel like, again, you know, touching on that, a CJ Mosley in there is better than without.
Oh, 100%, absolutely. And yeah. CJ Mosley, you know, he was a former Pro Bowler. You can actually go out and now vote for your favorite Raven to go to the Pro Bowl. Is it CJ Mosley? Is it somebody else? You know, we'll see who's representing the purple Baltimore Ravens at the Pro Bowl later on at the beginning of next year. So, Josh, before we get out of here, you want to do this? You want to give your prediction? What do you see who do you see winning this game, and what do you think is going to happen on Sunday?
Wow, this is an interesting one because we really don't know what the game plan is. We don't know who the quarterback is, but I'm going to try my best to shot in the dark. I'm going to give my predictions here. I'm going to give two ones because, again, we don't know which way the quarterback's going to go. I feel like if it's a not 100% Flacco starting and it's an RG3 start, I'm actually going to predict a huge Ravens loss, a big letdown, four straight, second in a row at home.
Yeah.
I feel like if Lamar starts, it gives us the greatest chance to probably near win the game just because of that sheer unknown. The Bengals don't really have a game plan for him. I feel like it's going to be that Baker Mayfield effect. I don't know if you saw that Thursday night game where the Browns won the first game. You know, it's the team didn't want to play for Tyrod, and Tyrod got hurt. Baker Mayfield came in, and I can just see it on the receiver, you know, their faces and their demeanor. It was like, all right, Baker's in, let's go. And they started catching balls. They started running routes. It was like, that's who they wanted in. And I'm not saying the players don't want Joe and they want Lamar. You know, I'm not saying that. I didn't move on record for that. But, you know, what it is my buddy's texting me today, my buddy Dave. He goes, if Lamar's announced, I'm going to lose it. And it's just like, and the offense is being introduced Sunday. So if Lamar Jackson's last out of that tunnel and he gets his first start at home, I feel like it's going to be an energizer. The crowd, whatever crowd's left at this point, will be energized. And, and I feel like it's going to be that spark. You know, it was almost like this, not comparing it, but it was almost like that whole Ray Lewis coming back for one last ride thing to spark the team. Don't put it past me, but I feel like if they announce it and Lamar starting and he runs out of tunnel, you're going to have a lot of excited people, and not only in stands but on the sidelines, and you're ready for it. And again, you hate to see it for Joe, but something's got to change, man, because I watched the demeanor on the sidelines for the team and during Pittsburgh game. A lot of heads were hanging. A lot of people were slumped on the bench. You know, nobody was excited. No urgency. No, let's go, guys. No rah-rah. It's just, I don't want to say the team's defeated or dejected, but I feel like something has to have an infusion of life, and I think Lamar's the guy to do it. I don't think RG3 starting's moving the needle. It's his first and last name is Lamar Jackson. That's the name that's going to move the needle. That's the closest thing we got to Ray Lewis right now to motivate the team. It's Lamar. And when you move back up into the first round of the draft to draft him at 32nd overall in a trade with the Eagles, there's a reason why. And and he's not a Heisman Trophy winner for no reason. Louisville didn't win any major bowl games or championships, but they were there. They're viable. He's got the talent. Let's see what he can do. And I just feel like if Lamar's in, it's the X factor the Ravens need to put him over the hump to get the Bengals win. Now, if Joe Flacco wasn't hurt and he was healthy, I would say Joe's the better man. Joe, you know, lead the offense. Joe's Joe. He's a proven winner. He's a proven 11-year vet. But when he's not 100%, hey, he wasn't 100% in the Pittsburgh game, and look how that happened. And just be sure knowing that and then watching that video I watched, that's all it needs me to say is I want a 100% player out there who's just going to give tear it up and give the Bengals everything they got and then some. Especially with the first NFL start with something to prove, it's different with a Joe Flacco coming in with a less than okay body and, oh, going through the motions, we're going to hand it off. I'm going to run the play that's called by Marty. So it's just boring. It's vanilla. I've seen enough. I want Lamar. Thanks. But no, thanks for the memories, Joe. But come on, Lamar. It's time. And we said it earlier. We kind of agreed. It's kind of like at that good time, worst time. It's sad to see it if this is Joe Flacco's last game. But it's like, but the injury, the bye week, we need a infusion. But hey, it might not work out, Brandon. It might. Lamar might start. He might throw four interceptions and one touchdown, and we lose, and then we're back to the drawing board. Then what? You know? Or RG3 might start. He might have a bad start, and then Lamar starts it and then tries to go win the game for us. You don't know how it's going to play out. It's the fear of the unknown. No one knew what Tom Brady was when he was in his first year. No one knew what Ben Roethlisberger was going to be. No one knew what Peyton Manning was going to be. Hey, Peyton Manning was awful in his first couple years. I mean, it takes time. You know, this isn't just put a hot pocket in the microwave and let's eat. It's, hey, let's put this thing on a crock pot and let's give it some all day goodness. This is smoking some ribs, man. It takes hours. It takes days to prepare this. So we might not like what we've seen. If Lamar does start, we might not like to see game one. But let's see game two. Let's build. You know, there's been some performances that were ugly, and there's been some performances that were great in Joe's career. But I just feel like there has to be something to change in order to spark this team. And they don't have the emotional leader like Ray. Ed Reed's not there making plays. Suggs is still Suggs. He's balling out, but Ball Hustler University is about to close. And he can only do so much. And he's not that quote unquote leader. He's a leader, but he's not that vocal, you know, like in your face, rah rah, like Ray. And I feel like, hey, Lamar. And I don't know, Brandon, go watch the, I don't know if you did or not, but watch. I pretty much watch all the videos that the Ravens website puts out, all the press conferences, get used to the players' demeanor. But Lamar, he was smiling. He's loose. He's joking with the media, having some fun. I really like the kid's demeanor, man. He just had some fun with it. And I feel like he's ready. You know, his play might not say it because we haven't really seen it. But his interview, man, I wouldn't have known he's a rookie. If I was under a rock and I came out and you showed me that video, I would think he's a veteran. I'm not kidding you, dude. I might sound biased because obviously it's the team root for and the quarterback, we want to see for the future. But the dude, he carried himself well. He's not over there stuttering and being bashful. He's answering questions. He's laughing, joking with the media. He's giving it right back to the media, man. It's funny. And I feel like he's more than ready. And like you said, he'll be confident and he can be out there. And if it's number 8 Lamar, do it. If it's number 5 Joe, let's do it. If it's number 3 RG3, let's ball out, guys, and we need to win. Okay, who's out there? Just win the stinking game.
Well, I got to say, this is a must win for the Ravens. I'm going to predict a win because, hey, let's face it, they have to. They don't. Game over, man. Whole season over. Joe Flacco's career over. They have to win. You know, like we said against Pittsburgh, it's really hard to sweep a rival, especially one in your division. So the Ravens already lost one to Cincinnati. They have to win this one. 100% they have to win. I'm not going to give a score prediction because, honestly, there's too many factors up in the air. Like, who's starting? Lamar, RG3, or Joe? Or, you know, is guys on the offensive line like Ronnie Stanley, are they at 100%? What's the defense doing? But the Ravens have to win. They have to win. So I'm hoping for a W on Sunday, but we'll see what happens. So, Josh, Have we covered everything for this, I don't even know what to call this, Purple Thursday preview?
Purple Thursday, Purple Friday. It better be a Purple Sunday, because you know what? I'm going to say, quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCast. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, everybody, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. We'll be doing Facebook Lives and all that other kind of stuff. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll know. We're always posting news and information and cool stuff that we find out about the Ravens there. So facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. We do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you're social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Ravens, Bengals, is it the end of an era? Is it the rise of a rookie? We will see on Sunday, man. This is just going to be crazy. Also, I want to say to all of our fans in the U.S., happy Thanksgiving. I hope everybody has a great time next Thursday. Eat a lot of turkey. That's what you're into. Watch some football. Have a good good Thursday. And then enjoy Purple and Black Friday and get all those good sales the next day. So that is it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. It's been a crazy good show as always, and it's a must win. Again, Pittsburgh was a big letdown, not the way we wanted to go against our rival, but hey, the Bengals, they got us on that Thursday so long ago. It just seems like a really long time ago, doesn't it? And hey, they're in our house this time. It's time. Put up or shut up. This is a true playoff game. It felt like the Saints game was. Yeah, I really felt like going into the Pittsburgh game, we need to have everything we got here because this is a playoff game here in the midseason. And then now, you know, talked with a few friends of mine, whether you want to admit it or not. But, hey, the Ravens lose. He said this stadium might be close to empty against the Raiders. And I don't blame him. You know, we already know the fair weather buckets come out. And, hey, the team losing, people don't show up. Well, am I going to pay to watch a loser? Well, hey, I'm going to pay to watch my football team because I remember some Colts fans who never had a team. And I've always had one, so I'm going to pay regardless. I don't care if they're winning or losing because, hey, I'm going to make you pay when you're one of those fans that didn't go and now you want to go as they're winning. You're going to pay about triple the ticket price, but that's me. But hope you follow that because we need everybody there at the bank on Sunday, all the Ravens faithful. It's going to take everything we got and then some. Like we said, we can be happy who's under center, be happy who's in the game, who's not in the game. We can whine and moan about in the stands if it's not our guy or who we want. But I tell you what, as I stated earlier, hey, whoever it is, just do your best job and win the game. Execute the plays and just put us in that position to win. I want Marty to put the players in the best position to win by calling the right scheme of plays. I want Harbaugh to make the right decisions and just carry that week after week and ride the wave. The wave starts now. Cincinnati's reeling. They don't have A.J. Green, the Raven killer. We already know the other Raven killer is Boyd. And Dalton, a lot of people a lot of people actually said, hey, hate the Bengals, starting to hate the Bengals more than the Steelers. And I can sense it because every time it's just, hey, they're our division rival. And we've had some battles over the years. They put us out of playoffs last year, not thanks to our own good, solid play, I guess. But, you know, hey, it happened. And they beat up on us earlier, and now we want the exact revenge and right the ship. And, hey, they're reeling. They got blown out where, we were within 1 point of the Saints for going into overtime. So they got the doors beat down on them. So they're going to come here looking for some magic, and nah, ain't going to happen. I think the Ravens are going to come away victorious, and they got to play hard, whether it's Lamar leading them, Joe, whether he's healthy or not healthy. And RG3, if he's the man to do it, called upon, number's going to be called. Put the helmet on, strap up, and let's go out there and play some winning Raven football. With that said, out of the bye week against these Cincinnati Bungles, these kitty cats from OHI, no, it ain't going to be a win for these Bengals. Ravens going to be victorious. Say it with me. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.